Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, fake news. What's behind it? And has the media always been dishonest? Ari Fleischer, who I really enjoy, helps us unpack that with his new book. And what's going on with the recent Hunter Biden news? No better guest than Miranda Devine to help us make sense of the very confusing story. Email me your thoughts as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. That is freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast by opening up your podcast app and typing Charlie Kirk Show. And get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com/SAS. That is tpusa.com/SAS. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com. One of my favorite people on television joins us right now. He's super articulate, and he has a new book out called Suppression, Deception, Snobbery, and Bias. Is That All? By Ari Fleischer. Ari, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show.
Charlie, thanks for having me.
So the premise of the book, from my understanding, I haven't read it yet, is why the press gets so much wrong and just doesn't care. And the second part of the title actually interests me the most is the not caring. So you've been in the media for a while. You've dealt with all of these propagandists for years. Was there a time when the media did care about getting it right? And if yes, when did that change?
There was a time that they actually said their job was to be objective. And boy, have they given that up now. They don't even try to be objective anymore. They don't try to be neutral anymore. What happened in the Trump years is the press decided that they needed to reverse the decision the American people made by electing Trump and do everything in their power to throw Trump out of office. And that included deceiving the American people with the reports they put on the air, false, wrong reports, suppressing news that would have hurt Joe Biden or helped Donald Trump. And that's why I wrote the book, Charlie. I try to be fair. I try to call the balls and strikes as I see them. And as I watched the press do to President Trump what they did, I just knew that I needed to write the book that was the reckoning that the press would not write for themselves.
And it's so important. The name of the book is Suppression, Deception, Snobbery, and Bias. And so I'm going to go a little step further here, Ari, and you can feel free to disagree, push back, or agree. I think so many members of the media are activists at the core, is that they have no desire to orient themselves towards a true north or towards what would be true. They care more about having their team win. It feels like as if the people marching in the streets that we saw with BLM or Roe v. Wade, they just got press badges and now they're given all of this power. Is that a bridge too far, or do you feel that the media has transformed into basically an activist network?
That's a good part of the book. They have transformed. The press largely, and I'm talking, when I say the mainstream media, I mean CBS, ABC, NBC, the New York Times, the Washington Post. Too many reporters in these institutions that we used to trust have decided their job is to be subjective, not objective. And let me give you one of my favorite examples. The night that Joe Biden was declared the winner of the election, it was the Saturday after the Tuesday election, church bells rang in Paris. Fireworks went off in London, and ABC, CNN, and MSNBC reported to their viewers that it was part of an international celebration of Donald Trump's defeat and Joe Biden's election. You know what, Charlie? It was the weekly call to mass in Paris. That's why the church bells rang. It was a 500-year-old British holiday called Bonfire Night, Guy Fawkes Day, that commemorated the failed assassination attempt on King James I in 1605. It had nothing to do with America. Yet these reporters, these snobs who think, how can anybody be for Donald Trump? They just interpret it as an election repudiation, world celebration of Donald Trump's defeat. And they put it on the air because they think everybody thinks like they do. And that's why I wanted to write a book like this, because we cannot be a strong democracy if people can't trust the press. And the reason we can't trust the press is because the press doesn't trust us. They especially don't trust people who carry guns, or whose parents or grandparents taught them to hunt. They don't trust people who think life begins at conception. They don't trust people who grew up in rural areas. This is the problem with the media, and this is why they're in decline and denial.
So that's another interesting thing I want to explore with you, Ari, which is they're in decline. New York Times stock is down 40% year over year. CNN Plus lasted, I think, three Scaramucci's. The entire media industrial complex, the narrative industrial complex, is just folding upon itself. How sustainable do you think that is? Because the current funding model feels as if it's the new pet project or the new kind of luxury item for a billionaire. It's no longer about yachts, Gulf Streams, and mansions in Nice, France. It's about owning the Atlantic or the Washington Post. Can you talk about how important market principles actually are in possibly restoring media companies? Because absent billionaire bailouts, I don't know how sustainable their propaganda campaign actually is.
Well, the one area of media that's booming is conservative media. Conservative media is doing exceedingly well because it's really a narrow little niche. When you add up how many people work in the mainstream media compared to the conservative media, the problem is in the mainstream media. And their business model increasingly says our readers and our viewers are partisan. They're partisan Democrats. We don't really have advertising dollars anymore, especially in print. So we need to appeal to our subscribers. And our subscribers overwhelmingly come from the left. So we need to tell the left what it wants to hear. That is a totally unsustainable business model. It's what's led to the polarization of the country. And one of the cases I make in this book is the reason we're polarized people is because the press polarizes us. It polarizes ourselves. By abandoning objectivity, by abandoning neutrality, they have forced themselves into a left-wing cul-de-sac. And it's a cul-de-sac that won't pay. So they do have a serious problem with their business model.
So the book is Suppression, Deception, Snobbery, and Bias. And so you have a couple of examples. Russian collusion, lab leak theory, Hunter Biden laptop, mostly peaceful protests. And it seems as if they just do smokescreen after smokescreen story to try and cover up whatever story they might be, you know, trying to protect for the regime. So let's talk about solutions here then, Ari. What do you think is actually the long-term solution to fix this? Because, you know, when I travel the country, I just talk to normal people. They say, I don't know who to trust. One of the reasons why our show, I think, has grown is we get plenty of things you know, wrong, but they know I'm not lying to them, right? We get plenty of things where I get too emotional or I get too heated, but they say, you know what? Charlie means what he says, or that program's going to tell it to me straight, where it seems as if there's almost this synthetic glaze that has gone over the media where it's so artificial and it's so just manufactured. How do we go about solving this?
So chapter one is called Original Sin. And the original sin of journalism is the people who go into it. They're all cut, too much cut from the same liberal tweet the same, think the same, look the same, act the same, cloth. They have a diversity problem in the media. The media doesn't look like America, sound like America, talk to America, or register to vote like America. And so journalism schools need to start to really work to bring in people who own guns, people who go to church every week, people who are conservative, people who grew up in rural areas, because you can't have a newsroom be so lopsided ideologically toward one side. When you do that, you put wrong information on the air because there aren't enough independent thinkers to stop it and fact check it. So that's why CNN led the league in the number of retractions they had. So my long-term solution is journalism schools need to recruit. Newsrooms need to welcome conservatives instead of shun conservatives in the newsroom. And I urge young people who are interested in journalism to go into the newsrooms, even for mainstream media, because it is important to our democracy that we can trust the news. But Charlie, I want to give you one example. When I talk about how journalists are overwhelmingly college-educated Democratic voters, the White House briefing room, I hired an opposition research firm to pull up the voter registrations of people who work in the White House briefing room. The ratio is 12 to 1, Democrat to Republican. Why isn't it 6 to 6? Why isn't it even? Can you imagine what it would be like if it was 12 to 1, Republican to Democrat? But the pinnacle of journalism, 12 to 1 ratio, Democrat to Republican. It shouldn't be that way.
having more people in the media that own guns and go to church, that's a diversity, equity, inclusion project I could get behind for sure. That's diversity, equity, inclusion done right. More gun owners and more church attendees in the media. All right, I'm going to play a piece of tape here. I want you to tell me how you think the media would react if Melania Trump did the following. Play cut 25.
Raul helped build this organization with the understanding that the diversity of this community, as distinct as the Bogotas of the Bronx, as beautiful as the blossoms of Miami, and as unique as the breakfast tacos here in San Antonio.
As unique as the breakfast tacos here in San Antonio. Pander much, Ari? How would the media react to such a thing?
Racist, xenophobic, stereotypical, bigotry. Has she never been out? I mean, this again, the hypocrisy of the media in so many different things. You know, Charlie, one of the other things in my book that I discovered, it fits along the same line of how when Republicans do it, they get hammered. Democrats do it, they get a pass. Here's CNN's judgment for you. CNN booked Michael Avenatti twice as much over the same period of time as they did the entire Trump administration to talk about COVID. The Secretary of Health and Human Services, the Surgeon General, Dr. Fauci, Dr. Briggs, everyone in the Trump administration combined, they booked Michael Avenatti almost twice as much to talk about Stormy Daniels. If that doesn't tell you how the mainstream media, and especially CNN's values were warped, how the coverage decisions were flawed, you know, if it was anti-Trump, it got a bump. And that's what we saw after 4 years of Trump coverage.
Well, and then what's so frustrating too, though, Ari, is that how the lies of the regime just go unchecked. I'm going to play this piece of tape here. The Commerce Secretary of Joe Biden's administration, Gina Raimondo, says the economy is very strong. I mean, no one even dares says like, hey, actually, we're in probably a recession, maybe about to go to an economic catastrophe. The media doesn't even dare cross-examine what people are feeling in their real lives. Play cut two.
Three quarters of the country feel like the country's headed in the wrong direction. How much of it is economic in your view?
I think quite a bit of it is economic, and specifically, I think it's inflation. So, you know, look, obviously, it's frustrating. You know, if you were to ask me, what do I think of the economy? I'd say we have a very strong economy.
Very strong economy, as the lapdogs in the media continue to nod their head.
Right.
And so it bothers me to at a fundamental level because it actually makes our country less free and harder for us to solve problems, doesn't it?
Well, it's along the same lines as Joe Biden said that the Border Patrol whipped migrants coming across the border when they didn't whip anybody. Where's the hammering of Joe Biden for getting that one wrong? Time and again, the Democrats get to say things that are flat out wrong, false, and they just get away with it. Look at the law in Florida that Governor DeSantis passed that dealt with teaching age-appropriate lessons about transgender issues and homosexuality and other issues to children. Age-appropriate. What did the press call it? Don't say gay. That's what all they want to call it. Well, that's not what it is. The media deceives. They distort. Another example in my book, they use Democrat words. When Joe Biden ran and promised all the gigantic spending programs, Biden called it investments. Do you know what word the New York Times, the Washington Post used? Investments. Now, when I invest, that means I take my money, I give it to somebody, and they give me back more money. That's an investment. When the government spends your money and my money and my neighbor's money, our tax money, that's called government spending. But the press just went right along with the cleaned up Democratic word. They don't do that for Republicans. We Republicans, we like to call the estate tax the death tax. They never call it the death tax. They use the Democrat language. They fall for the Democrat statements, and they don't hold the Democrats to account. We see it time and time and time again. And my book is full of examples of them doing it because someone needs to blow the whistle on them.
I think you blew my mind with this. I'm all for diversity, equity, inclusion now, as long as you're an NRA member and you live on a farm and you have 9 kids and you go to church. I think if we made them be hired in our government, And you have to be a member of a Turning Point USA chapter. I'm so excited to see you in Tampa, Ari, at our Student Action Summit, tvusa.com/SAS. Again, the book is Suppression, Deception, Snobbery, and Bias, Why the Press Gets So Much Wrong and Just Doesn't Care by Ari Fleischer. Ari, thank you so much.
Thank you, Charlie. Can't wait to see you next weekend.
It'll be great. Thank you. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. Right now, court packing is the real danger to our country. Make no mistake, court packing is a coup. The radical left is working overtime on new plans to pack the Supreme Court. Look, if we do not stop them from installing four more justices so they can rig the system in their favor, it'll be catastrophic for our court, our country, and the American way of life. We cannot let this happen. I will not let it happen on our watch. That's why I need you to join us. We're gathering a coalition of 1 million patriots to say no to court packing, no to the left-wing agenda, and no to the Supreme Court coup. Franklin Graham, former U.S. Attorney General Ed Meese, Dr. James Dobson, the Family Policy Alliance, and more, and over 400,000 people like you are all on board. Please sign your name now. Go to Supreme Coup, that's COUP.com, to sign First Liberty's letter. First Liberty's a great organization run by a dear friend, Kelly Shackelford. Go to SupremeCoup.com, and God bless America. With us right now is the author of the book Laptop from Hell, Miranda Devine. She's fabulous. You've probably seen her on TV, and you should check out her book. But I have a lot of questions because there was this leak allegedly over the weekend, and maybe it's a leak or not a leak, and I can't think of a better person to help make sense of this really creepily confusing story that, honestly, I don't want to look too far into. So I'll let Miranda tell us about it. Miranda, welcome back to the Charlie Kirk Show.
Thanks so much, Charlie. Great to be with you.
Thank you. So I'm not going to go look at any of the images. I don't encourage anyone to do that. What is going on here? Is this a leak? Is it an iCloud backup? Where did it come from? Why are we just learning about it right now? I could pepper off another eight questions, but let's just start there.
Look, I don't know the exact origin of this current leak. 4chan has it. Who knows? There's all sorts of rumors about where they got it from. But suffice to say, what it appears to be is the iPhone backup that was encrypted on Hunter's laptop. It was encrypted with a password that about a month ago, this independent research outfit, nonprofit called Marco Polo, had managed to find the password among all the passwords that Hunter stored on his laptop and open up that encrypted backup. And so they have been leaking to us at the New York Post, to the Daily Mail and the Sun and so on, selected bits and pieces, videos, and that voicemail that you heard a couple of weeks ago from Joe Biden. What it looks like to me from the little that I've seen on social media, admittedly, of the material that's come out and that's been sort of curated by various people on Twitter and Getter and so on, it looks to be the material from the iPhone backup. That's what the Marco Polo people tell me. I know that on Twitter, people have been saying wild things like someone has hacked Hunter Biden's iCloud. Now, I doubt that. That is illegal. Apparently, the Secret Service is looking into those allegations. NBC reported that yesterday. That is a serious crime if that were to have happened. I don't think so. None of this material is new, according to Marco Polo, who are all over the iPhone backup. Let's see, this story is wild. And, what it just highlights is the fact that it is impossible for the White House and Joe Biden to continue to stonewall, refuse to answer questions. This material on Hunter Biden's laptop is not going away, and it's damning. It shows at the very least that Joe Biden has been lying since the campaign and throughout his presidency about what he knew about his son, Hunter, and his brother, Jim Biden's business dealings.
So I guess one of the questions that I have is, so the Secret Service is potentially scrambling to say, oh, no, this might have been a hack. Where's the federal government scrambling to potentially go after him for trafficking women across state lines and bragging in the videos that there's all this cocaine? I mean, Miranda, we have verifiable video, audio evidence of a multitude of crimes being committed by him, not to mention the tax dealings and all of this. I mean, it just drives me nuts. And I think our audience, too, it's that the government's response is, we're going to go find the person who possibly leaked it. You have the crimes, illegal gun purchase. You have prostitution. You have one after the other. And meanwhile, they have a trial of Steve Bannon because he decided not to show up to testify to Congress. They have Peter Navarro in leg irons because he didn't want to go testify to Congress. They raid James O'Keefe's apartment. And here you have Hunter Biden, who quite honestly makes El Chapo look like Mother Teresa. I mean, this is nuts.
Well, look, we have to realize that the FBI has had a copy of the original of Hunter Biden's laptop that they were given by John Paul MacIsaac, the Delaware repair shop owner. They've had that since December 2019. Now, I believe that all evidence of crimes and so on contained on it, if they've looked at it, will have been referred to that U.S. attorney, that grand jury, sorry, in Delaware, that's been investigating Hunter Biden for 4 years for suspected or alleged tax evasion and money laundering and foreign agent violations. And so anytime, you know, if another district like the Southern District of New York is given any evidence of crimes that allegedly committed by Hunter Biden, they defer and refer to the U.S. attorney. I believe that's what's been happening. I don't think they have to, but so I guess it all rests on David Weiss, the U.S. attorney in Delaware. And, you know, that grand jury went dormant after some quite busy activity last summer when they were interviewing Hunter's former business partners, people like Devin Archer and his former lovers. We know that they had asked at least one person who is the big guy. Now, the big guy we know from Tony Bobulinski, another former business partner, is Joe Biden, the big guy who is getting 10% of one of these lucrative Chinese deals. So if the grand jury is asking people those questions, then maybe the U.S. attorney is, you know, pulling on those threads that lead to Joe Biden. That would be pretty brave. But at the very least, we believe that there will be an indictment coming out. But why the delay, we don't know, because we're heading up to midterms and there is a period of, 2 to 3 months before then when these sorts of inquiries just go dormant or are stalled so that they're not influenced and don't influence political processes. So we're getting perilously close to that with no outcome. There's, you know, some talk that perhaps a couple of witnesses were called back because their testimony conflicted. So that may explain part of the delay. Otherwise, you can only suspect, and that would be a terrible thing, that the U.S. attorney might be slow walking this past the midterms. Let's hope that's not the case.
Yeah, there's so many questions related to that. But also, Miranda, there seems to be further evidence that we know Joe Biden lied when he said he didn't know that he was aware of Hunter Biden's business dealings. This is confusing for some of our audience, but can you, to the best of your ability, what do we know based on the laptop and the subsequent quote-unquote leak or whatever it might be of Hunter Biden, Joe Biden's business dealings? For example, allegedly, based on this, whatever it is, this new revelation, we have the leaked audio clip we paid, but also it shows there's a very important dialogue between Joe Biden's 2018 involvement and Hunter Biden's finances. The company is Owasco LLC, which served as an influence operation by the Bidens on behalf of the Chinese. It looks like Joe Biden said he knew nothing about Hunter Biden business, but in late 2018, it looks as if Hunter Biden needed his dad's permission to wire money to Owasco LLC. What else do we know about this, Miranda? Because it seems as if this was not two separate universes of business. Is it possible Joe Biden was calling all the shots?
Look, I don't think that particular piece of evidence is damning at all, because Owasco was just Hunter Biden's personal firm, his law firm. It's where a lot of his money came through that he used for spending. And at that time of his life, this was early 2019, this is the first time we see evidence of the laptop of money going from Joe Biden to Hunter Biden. The other evidence is that it's going the other way. And we know, of course, that Hunter's complained about having to give half his money to his father. So the reason that Joe Biden was giving Hunter money was because Hunter was, on a terrible bender at the time. His life was in utter disarray. He had a huge monthly alimony bill He was spending like a drunken sailor in expensive hotels and, you know, crack benders and prostitutes. And he'd also split up with his brother's widow, Hallie, who he'd had this torrid affair with, and that was very acrimonious. And he was furious with his family. He thought that Joe and Jill were taking the side of Hallie against him. He also thought, with good reason, that Joe Biden and certainly his staff were throwing him under the bus in order to sort of salvage Joe's last chance to become president. Joe was just about to announce his candidacy. Hunter knew that. And so, you know, in effect, Hunter was blackmailing his father, saying to him without saying in so many words, but sort of being out of control, being angry, raging, being a loose cannon, and wanting money, desperate for money to feed his habit. And so his father was giving him tens of thousands of dollars. Supposedly he was helping him pay off his bills, get out of trouble. He had tax problems. And also to go to so-called rehab. You know, there you can see on the laptop that his father sends him, I think it's $20,000 or $30,000 to pay for a rehab, and he's not. He's still smoking crack and seeing prostitutes. So I'm not sure that Joe Biden particularly cared. He just wanted to keep Hunter quiet. And, you know, and in April 2019 was when Hunter abandoned his laptop and all that damning evidence, that bombshell in Delaware at that laptop repair shop. And, you know, a week or two later, his father announced his candidacy for president. So, you know, a Freudian read of Hunter Biden's behavior would say that he was trying to sabotage, at least subconsciously, his father's career.
It's just, I mean, hard to find any other explanation. Let's play cut 37. It's the audio clip of Joe Biden saying he thinks Hunter is good regarding business dealings. Play cut 37.
Before I talk to you, I thought the article, at least the thing on online, it's going to be printed tomorrow in the Times, was good. I need to clear. And anyway, if you get a chance, give me a call. I love it.
So, Miranda, quick response there.
Look, that's just prima facie evidence that Joe Biden did know about Hunter Biden's business deals, his overseas business deals. The New York Times article he's talking about where he says, Hunter, I think you're clear. That was a great source of panic and worry to Hunter and Jim and the family over those months that the New York Times was investigating. And they were just relieved because there was hardly any mention of them. They really, the New York Times didn't get to the heart of that really dodgy deal with the Chinese Communist Party that Joe Biden was also part of.
Is it possible that what has happened to the United States and the world from COVID-19 to 9/11 are part of an ancient mystery? Is it a warning? Does the mystery tell us what is yet to come? Do we have the key to uncover it? New York Times bestselling author Jonathan Cahn takes audiences on an epic journey to uncover the stunning mystery. The Harbinger of Things to Come is available at salemnow.com. Uncover the ancient signs that warn of impending calamity. The harbingers that appear in the last days of an ancient nation have now appeared on American soil. The key, the hope, and what you need to know about the future. From Jonathan Cahn comes the explosive motion picture, The Harbinger of Things to Come. If you missed it in theaters, stream it today at salemnow.com. The Harbinger of Things to Come, the one movie you cannot afford to miss. Go to salemnow.com. That is salemnow.com. Miranda, I want to get your response to this clip and tell us what the geopolitical implications could potentially be for this and how it ties with the laptop and all of this kind of ever-growing, disturbing news cycle. Play cut 37.
Let's take a look at that right now, because I have a graphic of what appears to be Joe Biden's China policy. First, we know that the family reportedly accepted $31 million at least from deals in China. That is from Hunter's laptop, and Senator Ron Johnson's investigation and Peter Schweitzer's reporting fails to demand any COVID origins investigation. We have no evidence that Joe Biden ever brought up the origins of COVID to Xi Jinping and the five phone calls that he's had. He's failing to call for an end of the fentanyl trafficking. I have not heard him mention fentanyl once, and fentanyl is made in China, pushed through Mexico into America. And it continues. He has canceled the China initiative. This was an initiative that was investigating the continued Chinese intellectual property theft. He's considering lifting the tariffs on China imports. He sent oil from America's strategic reserve to other countries, including China, and he is pushing electric vehicles, solar panels and batteries aggressively in his climate change agenda, and many of those are made in China.
Miranda, your thoughts?
Well, look, it does seem that Joe Biden has gone soft on China in all those ways Maria points out, and more. I mean, the 1 million barrels that he diverted from the strategic petroleum reserve to China went to Sinopec, which is a Chinese energy giant that his son Hunter had a 10% investment in that Chinese private equity firm BHR. You know, lifting tariffs on solar panels, disbanding the China Initiative, which was a national security program put in place by the Trump administration to stop Chinese espionage at our universities and research institutions. That's just inexplicable. These things seem to be about putting China first, not putting America first. And, you know, until there is some explanation from the administration about this very soft China policy, these reversals of the Trump attitude to China, then we can only have suspicions that are pretty well founded that Joe Biden is compromised by China, that our foreign policy is now affected by the millions of dollars that went into Biden family bank accounts from China, as well as Russia, Ukraine, Romania, Kazakhstan, and other countries when Joe Biden was vice president. We don't know if Joe Biden's compromised, but while he refuses to answer questions about his involvement and while he's been caught out in a lie about his knowledge of those business dealings, you know, suspicions just abound.
Suspicions abound is a beautifully put understatement. How would he act if he wasn't compromised? Let's ask that question.
Yeah.
And also, we know the Chinese, we know they act with a practice that Peter Schweitzer beautifully puts as elite capture. It is a practice in their foreign policy portfolio. They capture elites by either blackmail, but usually purchase. They like honey more than they like vinegar. So really quick, I want to get your reaction on this. This is actually total chance. You've been tweeting about this. Let's play Cut 35. It's about Josh Hawley's recent exchange. Your quick response, Miranda. Play Cut 35.
So your view is that the core of this right then is about what?
So I want to recognize that your line of questioning is transphobic, and it opens up trans people to violence by not recognizing that.
Wow, you're saying that I'm opening up people to violence by asking whether or not women are the folks who can have pregnancies?
So I want to note that 1 out of 5 transgender persons have attempted suicide. So I think it's important
because of my line of questioning.
Because
so we can't talk about it.
Because denying that trans people exist and pretending not to know that they exist.
I'm
is
denying
dangerous.
That trans people exist by asking
you
if you're talking
Are you?
About women
Are you?
Having pregnancies.
Do you believe that men can get pregnant?
No, I don't think women can
so
get pregnant.
So you are denying that trans people exist.
And that leads to violence. Is this how you run your classroom? Are students allowed to question you?
Absolutely.
Or are they also treated like this? Where
no,
they're told that they're opening up people to violence.
That's what happens on college campuses. Your immediate thoughts.
That woman is a professor of law at Berkeley, and good on Josh Hawley for exposing her and the whole gender ideology. It's so dishonest and sick.
That was a perfectly succinct answer, Miranda. I was so impressed. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.